first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
And good morning, good afternoon. Good to have you along. Karen Cataline with you out of our flagship station for Tuesdays and Thursdays in the live free or die state of New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire. Welcome, and just great to be alive and exercising our First Amendment rights because, you know, use them or lose them. Anyway, I got several things to cover before we welcome a couple of terrific guests. Ron DeSantis did it again. He did it again. Do you think for one moment that Ron DeSantis, who is giving the radical left some of their own medicine, is going to back down when the left freaks out because they have been exposed for the supreme hypocrites that they are? The only thing he isn't doing, and he should, is to call them racist, for daring to deport 50 illegal aliens that were delivered to hoity-toity, ritzy-ditzy Martha's Vineyard, where the elite live, you know, not in my backyard. But it's worse than that. They have been hammering people who simply believe in secure borders and keeping citizens safe of every nationality, color, and ethnicity. People who are already here, who would like to enjoy the blessings of liberty in a relatively safe and prosperous country. And here are these people lecturing the rest of us, but not in my backyard. It's worse than that. They deported them within 24 hours. I don't know where they put them, but they're accusing the radical left, blah, 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 are accusing those like Santas who gave them a little of their own medicine of human trafficking. Since the very beginning of the Presidential Potted Plants Administration, they have been increasing not only human trafficking across the border, they opened the border wide open to child sex trafficking, abuse, drug addiction, trafficking in fentanyl, you name it. And now they're crying foul because of 50 illegal aliens, which Kamala Harris said didn't exist because the southern border is secure. So in my opinion, all that Ron DeSantis was doing was simply reminding in the most, you know, concrete way that reminding Kamala Harris that the southern border is not only not secure, but it's wide open. And he had to do it with actual facts, like 50 illegal aliens who walked across the border. If anybody has ever used people to make their political case, it has again and again and again been the radical left. But Ron DeSantis did it again. As of today, headline, Governor DeSantis sends a plane load of illegal migrants to Georgetown via Biden's beach town. Libs are in a tizzy. Maybe heading to Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. Now, we know, although the media will not report it because the media does the bidding of the left, or maybe the left does the bidding of the leftist media, I'm not sure, but the media will not report that they have been flying illegal aliens under the cover of darkness to every Republican area around the country, giving them five-star hotels, resettling them in conservative areas so that they were overwhelm the vote in these conservative towns. The next step is to give them the right to vote, which in some places they're already working to do legally, let alone illegally. I seem to remember when POTUS 44 gave a speech not long before his re-election campaign that it was perfectly legal for immigrants to vote in our elections. I don't know if you remember that, but I certainly do. So I think it's important to feed these perpetrators and persecutors a little of their own medicine. And Ron DeSantis is doing just that. Part of the little of their own medicine is to expose them for what they're doing to their political opponents, which is, at the very least, an abuse of power. At the very most, it is criminal and felonious. But, you know, I digress. So the other thing left to do is to call them racist, because that's what they've called anyone who believes in a secure border. You're a racist. You're a racist. You're intolerant. You lack compassion. We're going to use illegal aliens every which way we can and fly them in planes all over the country. We're not racist. We're not, you know, engaging in human trafficking, but you are by giving us a little of our own medicine. Ron DeSantis is another harbinger of showing people how to have political courage and political fortitude to do what needs to be done, which is to illustrate in action what is being perpetrated, the lies, the deceptions. All you got to do is just expose, shine a light on the deception and let people figure out what's been happening. And people have been figuring it out. So here's another somewhat delicious point, and that is David Hogg. Do you remember David Hogg? I will never forget David Hogg, a kid who was in high school at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, now goes to Harvard, lecturing the world about guns, claiming he was there at the horrible tragedy at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas when he really wasn't even there that day. He easily got accepted to Harvard when the one lone voice for the rights of law-abiding citizens to defend themselves, namely Second Amendment, Kyle Kuchev, if I remember his name correctly, he was hammered, persecuted, and he's a brilliant kid, not allowed into lefty Harvard. Nevertheless, David Hogg has been tweeting lately. and so David Hogg, who loves to tweet, and this is just yesterday, tweeted, "Kids are the new boats. Pets are the new kids. Plants are the new pets. Let me explain." So let's let him explain. This is a report by way of the Liberty Daily, which I like to read, along with a lot of other online publications. Like, yes, kids are nice, but now he even uses like in a tweet. This is Mr. Harvard, David Hogg, you know, but hey, he is espousing the right Marxist views, so nobody's going to call him on his silliness. Like, yes, kids are nice, but most people can't afford them. So it's nice to have friends with one, but not have one yourself. Pets are the affordable version of kids today for millennials and Gen Z, and plants are now the affordable plants. Plants are now the affordable. I think he means pets. Plants are now the affordable pets. I mean, this is a person who cannot help himself from lecturing and smugly and arrogantly telling the rest of us how we should live. It is a a virus of the radical left that cannot live and let live. They are incapable of allowing for other people to live the way they want to. It's called, liberty. Personal liberty. Now, he's entitled to personal liberty. He's entitled to express any silly, idiotic position he wants. We're allowed to think of it as silly and idiotic. But the likes of David Hogg, he wants to consider your opinions dangerous. I'm pretty sure the dutiful goose step liberal David Hogg is perfectly comfortable shutting you down, telling you what views you hold that are dangerous and disinformation. All right, but it gets better. It gets better, right? He says, like me, I'm never planning on having kids. I would much rather own a Porsche and have a Portuguese water dog. I guess maybe because they both, you know, start with P, I don't know, and a golden doodle. Long term, it's cheaper, better for the environment, and will never tell you that it hates you or asks you to pay for college. Now, this is just pregnant with meaning, this whole tweet. Oh, and then he says, but that's just me. So, right, he's allowed to say this is just me, but he doesn't give anybody else the right to say, but that's just them. You know, I would rather this is some conservative tweeting, I don't know who, there are millions of them that would say, you know, the left continues to open, empty the prisons, open the borders to every illegal and criminal, because Venezuela, just as Trump said, didn't send us our best. They were Venezuelan illegal immigrants, most of them, who were dropped in Martha's Vineyard and deported out of Martha's Vineyard. Now they want to prosecute within 24 hours. But that's just me. So if a conservative says, you know, they're emptying the prisons, they're opening the borders, cities are become deadly dangerous, they're defunding the police, so I'll just hold on to my God-given constitutional right to bear arms in order to defend myself and my family, but that's just me. You see, a guy like David Hogg, who has made gotten national attention for lecturing the country and the world on how bad guns are and how we are to have guns confiscated. We heard in the opening news report how Biden's goal is to once again ban certain kinds of weapons. They're not assault weapons, but that's what the left calls them. Which is just, he doesn't know a doggone thing about guns. I really don't know much about him either, but he doesn't know anything about guns. And it's amazing that I know more than he does, which isn't much. Nevertheless, that's just me. He doesn't give others the right to say that's just me. The cool thing is, the interesting thing is that a guy like David Hogg, according to yesterday's tweet, I'm never planning on having kids. Don't you hope that's true? I do. Chances are he won't, because he's probably been quadruple vaxxed. And according to Naomi Wolf, there are profound problems in reproduction among those who have been who've taken the jab. And the more jabs they've taken, the more reproductive problems. Of course, the media won't tell you that. You're not allowed to know that or question that or hear that or decide for yourself if you believe that. That's the country and the world we're living in today. I'm going to keep on speaking out because, and I hope you do too. We're going to take a break. You hear that music, and we'll have a couple of great guests right after this. This is Spouting Off. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off here and out of, sorry, I'm turning up my volume here so I could hear, out of Nashua, New Hampshire. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and always a pleasure to talk to you and welcome our very next guest, and he is part of Parkman and Parker Trial Law, which was founded in 2021 by James Parkman III and Adam Parker. And they are doing some very high-profile cases. I will let him talk to you and us about what is going on. I guess our producer's trying to get Jim as well. We were slated to have both. That's why I was a little bit halting in my speech. I didn't know if we had both, but we're going to start with Adam Parker. Welcome, Adam, to Spouting Off.
Oh, hold on just one second, Karen, please.
Oh, okay. That's what we'll do.
Adam is trying to get Jim on the other line, and I'm still on hold.
Oh, well, good. And this is live radio, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we do around here. I am going to just go back to something that I was talking about. If you can, go ahead and get on Twitter, if you still get on Twitter, and go to David Hogg's Twitter page and get a load of this kind of arrogant ignorance. I think that's what we've been seeing again and again, is that the most arrogant people that don't believe in live and let live are the same people that want to lecture and tell everybody else what to do. We need to go back to the whole idea of live and let live. But if you do have a disagreement or a problem or something else, you take it to court. And we've got Parkman and Parker right here on the line on Spouting Off. Welcome to both of you to Spouting Off.
Karen, this is Jim Parkman. Let me ask you one question, and then I'm going to show you what a small world this is, okay?
All right.
Are you in Nashua, New Hampshire?
Actually, no, I am not. I am not.
Is that where? So, okay. I thought this was a broadcast from Nashua.
Yeah. Well, yes, we are. The miracle okay. of radio has me not physically in Nashua, New Hampshire, but are we broadcasting from our flagship station in Nashua? Absolutely, WSMN, Nashua. Why?
All right. Then let me say this. This is going to be a shock, okay?
Okay.
I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. Several years ago, my son and wife, he was too young at the time, moved to Nashua for him to play hockey with the Northern Cyclones. they lived in what is known as the Clock Tower, which is an old warehouse converted to apartments that was absolutely fantastic. And listen to this. There was a restaurant that had a crab sandwich. The restaurant was named Cahill's. Probably the best crab sandwich in the entire world. So, small world.
Well, I'm going to have to try that. I hear accents similar to yours where I am because I relocate to the state of Texas. And we love states that are dedicated to liberty. And Adam, right? Oh, no, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim.
That's Jim. I'm Adam, but I'm letting Jim talk first.
Well, let's first get a little bit of biography of both of you. So, Jim, why don't you go first, tell everybody more about you, and then we're going to talk about the kind of lawsuits and high-profile cases that you do.
Well, I hate to do that because I hate talking about myself.
But we like knowing.
That's a lie, Karen. That's a lie. All lawyers like talking about themselves.
Well, I don't. But I have been in practice for 43 years. I have represented the largest healthcare. It was a fraud case, corporate fraud case here in Birmingham, and there were 39 counts that the CEO was found not guilty of. It was the largest fraud case involving a corporation, and he was found not guilty of that. And then from there, I have traveled and tried cases in just about two-thirds of the United States, tried a major case out in California that was known as the Ferrari case out there in Los Angeles. And then from there, I represented Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick for a period of time in Detroit. And from there, New York, a big case in New York involving gambling. So I've been around, I guess, to say, and I hate to say
well,
all
and
that
you're doing family. Great talking about yourself. We love that. Now, I know, Adam, you probably – thank you very much, Jim, for that.
You're welcome,
people
Karen.
Probably people probably say to you, did you guys get together because then you could name your law firm Parkman and Parker? Adam, talk to us about your background, if you would.
So I'm a JAG in the U.S. Air Force Reserve. I've been practicing 9 years now. I actually met Jim on one of my first cases. I started out as an assistant district attorney down in Houston County, Alabama, which is right at the corner of Florida and Georgia. I've done trial work, criminal and civil cases in about 5 states. I've got one pending in New Mexico right now, as far west as New Mexico. I've got cases pending in Alabama and Georgia. I'm licensed in both those states. And fun fact, my wife's family is actually from Pelham, New Hampshire, which is right down the street from Nashua.
Well, there are lots of connections to Nashua, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
It is a pleasure to have you both on the line at the same time. Now, give us a little idea, a little taste of one of the high-profile cases that you're working on now that might be relevant in particular to the kind of – do you do anything that has like a political bent, which, of course, everything does today? Who wants
to
answer that?
Let me say, Jim? I do not have a political case going on. I have done other political cases before, but nothing right now. I've got I can't go into the facts, but I've got a murder case in federal court that was a murder for hire. And so I've got it pending, and we're going to trial in January on it. That's a big case down here in our area. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I've got other cases pending, you know, in some of the other states, but nothing political in nature. Right?
When I say political, I mean things that have to do with life. I mean, obviously life, but liberty, people's rights being trampled on, that sort of thing.
Hey, Jim, just to jump in, I actually,
I
law clerked for Roy Moore. And I don't know if you remember who Judge Roy Moore was. He was the Alabama Supreme Court Justice, put up the Ten Commandments, got removed from office, later ran for U.S. Senate. Uh-huh. And he was beaten in a runoff by Doug Jones a couple weeks before the election. there was news from a Democratic super PAC that Roy Moore was basically accused of molesting young girls 30, 40 years ago. Judge Moore actually wheels of justice are slow. A couple months ago in federal court, he won a defamation suit against that PAC and got an $8.2 million verdict. I consulted with him on that case early on. He ended up hiring a different lawyer. Still friends with Roy. Great guy, in my opinion. But that was something recent that happened here that I think really dealt with liberty and just how people try to use things such as falsehoods to sway an election.
You know what, Adam and Jim? This is a perfect opportunity to talk about something we talk about often around here. And that is, you know, the well-known and profoundly with enormous impact, Rush Limbaugh used to say drive-by media all the time. And the reason he said that is because the media could come along, or the other radical politicians, radical leftist politicians, could make accusations and retaliate because they don't like someone else's politics. And it could do the damage that they wanted to do. And by the time that wrong is righted, nobody cares anymore. I'd love for you to speak to that, Adam. And how many years did it take for him to win that case? That case seems like at least 10 years old, doesn't it?
Well, it was that election was in 2017, and they just had the trial, I believe, a month ago. So that was a good almost 5 years.
Okay, so it's not 10, but it's 5. And I don't think people today, with everything going on, knows a doggone thing about Roy Moore anymore, do they?
Nope.
They don't.
It's a candle in the wind, as Elton says.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, that's the problem with cases that do have a political flavor to them. You know, they come out strong. They do the damage to the person, to the reputation. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's something new brewing somewhere else. So they switch to that, but they've left the carnage behind.
Oh. And, can you say Kyle Rittenhouse? Right?
Yeah. Sometimes it takes years to get over it. Sometimes you never get over it.
Exactly.
You know, as far as politics goes, you know, there are a lot of politicians who have been slandered, libeled, and, you know, they never win again. And a lot of it's false.
I think the exception to the rule was Justice Kavanaugh, because if you look at the allegations against him, that would have killed most other people vying for a Supreme Court seat, but he actually didn't make it through. But
you know, that's interesting, Adam, but, you know, the real truth to that is the only reason he made it is because they had a majority of conservatives that got him in. But they did the damage to him.
Yeah.
They did the damage to him. As far as, you know, his reputation goes. And, you know, what are people going to remember? Do they remember, you can ask the public, do you remember Judge Kavanaugh's latest decision and what he wrote? No. What do you remember? I remember that he had something with a young girl.
How many years? And how many years has it been since
back in college,
Clarence,
you know,
Thomas? Yeah. How many years has it been since Clarence Thomas, and people still prefer to believe what they want instead of the facts in that case, right?
Yeah, and they're still after him, and they're still asking for his resignation now because of his wife's relationship. So it's just a continuing, let me see what I can find on you, and then, you know, we're not going to forget you. We're going to come back to you as soon as we find something really good that we can raise, you know, the dirt on.
Yeah. Jim, how, you know, with your years in law, how have you seen the profession change in recent years as compared to, you know, the middle of your career or when you were getting started?
Law profession?
Have you seen? Pardon me?
The law profession?
Yeah.
Okay, I can tell you real quick.
Please.
You know, I hate to say this because, you know, old people, I'm not old, but old people say, you know, back in the day. Well, back in the day, you know, you could shake a hand of a lawyer on a deal, and you could say, that's our deal, that's it, and that's it. You didn't have to write it down and have everybody sign it and have the Pope, you know, initial signature on it. Today and time, what I'm seeing is lawyers are, especially younger lawyers, all they want to do is see what they can do to win at any cost. You can shake their hand, and before you get back to the office on a deal, they've changed the deal and claim they never had a deal. So what I'm seeing a lot of is lack of trustworthiness in the law profession today. And I don't like it. I'll be very honest with you. I don't like it. And it also has to do with being honest to courts. You know, when you get in front of a court, tell the truth about your facts, your case, what you're arguing. We don't see a lot of that necessarily anymore. And I'm not saying everybody. Don't take
yeah,
it.
I know.
It's not a universal.
I know.
Court.
But, Jim, I it's think our audience court. Who are not in the legal profession would say that they are experiencing that in everyday business ventures as well. There is a weakening of character and of integrity and of one's word. We only have about 2 minutes. It's gone really, really quickly.
Oh, God.
What do you want to leave us with, Jim, and then Adam?
Well, what I'd like to leave you with is, you know, don't take what I said about lawyers to heart and all, but I think the key to it nowadays is if you're going to hire a lawyer, find out about the lawyer and then find out about his reputation. Find out about, is he trustworthy? Is he telling you the right things? And that doesn't mean what you want to hear. Is he telling you all that there is to know, not just
well,
telling you?
Well, get a second opinion like medicine, right?
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Certainly.
Adam,
Karen,
your thought.
I'll just leave you with this. A lawyer's duty is to fight for his clients and fight for liberty and justice. And a lot of people hate lawyers, but nothing's going to get done unless we take actions and stand up for liberty. And that goes not just as lawyers, but also as civilians. But I think as long as everyone does what they're supposed to, justice will eventually prevail, because we do have a great country and a great justice system. Don't get me wrong, there's problems with it. But I do think if everyone does what
it's the best.
Yeah.
We gotta run. Parkman and Parker, we loved
Karen,
having
thank
you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We gotta
Karen.
Move on. You take care, and we hope
thank
to talk
girl.
To you. Okay.
Thanks.
We'll be right back with another guest, terrific guest, right after this. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
I was asking God through prayer, seeking a good news source. I believe He showed me the Epoch Times. I deliver the mail and came across an issue. The front page intrigued me and I subscribed. Now I cut out articles and give them to friends and family. I leave old issues at the library and around my community. We read it to our kids and love the positive messages in each article. So why do I think everyone should read the Epoch Times? Because they're bringing back traditional values to this great country.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back. I like that music. That's pretty good. Thank you, Art, for that. And thank you to Art and Juan, who make this show work and happen. Without them and George, we couldn't keep doing what we do. Well, I haven't talked to this next guest in a long time, and the subject matter is so pertinent to what's going on today. I'm just going to read you the subject, then I'll introduce you to our guest. Women have the right to choose whether their unborn babies live or die, but they don't have the right to raise them. How about that? Here to talk about that is child development author Dr. Vermel D. Green. Has been a school teacher and an administrator for more than 45 years. She's the author of Please Teach Me Like a Boy. I always love having her on. 10 Steps to His Success in School and in Life. And Dr. Green is the executive of the Boys Initiative. Welcome, Dr. Vermel Green, to Spouting Off.
Thank you, Karen, my friend. Glad to be back.
It's so good to have you. I mean, how perfect a subject. So the radical left that is putting pornography on public grade school shelves and then calling conservatives who want to stop exposing kids to out-and-out pornography, they're calling them book burners while they burn and ban Mr. Potato Head. They advocate that a woman should have a right to choose whether to kill her unborn baby even after it's born, but no, you can't raise them. Wow. Talk about that for everyone, because it is exceptionally relevant right now, right today.
Absolutely. It's the same kind of mentality that says, you know, keep your hands off my body, my choice, but yet I'm being forced to take a vaccine that I don't want to in order to keep my job. So,
right.
You know, it's
exactly.
Just backwards, upside down thinking. But parents, I hope the parents again are getting fired up, because they cannot sit back and let the folks with a certain agenda dictate to them what their children are going to be taught. I hope parents show up in droves at those board meetings and say no. But they have to do their homework, because a lot of this is very under the table. And it's a shame, because parents many times are blindsided by what's happening.
You know, and Dr. Green, one of the most heartbreaking things is that they have put us all on notice. Those of us who disagree with the policies being shoved down our throats, those of us who disagree, the parents were the first to be called domestic terrorists for going to school board meetings and saying, I don't like that you're teaching racism to my kids. I don't like that you're teaching white people that they're racist when they're born, and black people that they're victims when they're born. They were called domestic terrorists, and we know that Joe Biden has called anybody who dissents and disagrees, including people who might not vote for him in 2 years, who might support Trump or DeSantis or whomever, semi-fascist and a threat to, quote, democracy. This is deadly, dangerous stuff. And they want to persecute and suppress people from speaking out. I know how courageous and strong and articulate you are. Talk to our audience about how the price for speaking up and defiance is getting higher in this country, because the dangers of tyranny are getting higher in this country.
The price is getting higher. And so it's going to take some bold folks, and especially people who are associated with the church, who call on the name of God, who say that they are Christians. They, above all, should be standing up and vocalizing that these things, these laws, these policies are antithetical to anything this country was founded on. This country was founded on the principles of God, and for this government, this current regime, to be you know, going so much against all that this country has stood for the past 250-plus years, you know, it's truly, truly criminal. I hope that, again, not just our Christians, but even those who say that they're not of any particular faith, we all love freedom. So we need to speak up. We need to stand against this. And as a black woman, I really resent it when Joe Biden said from the very beginning, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. I'm thinking, okay, what am I?
How condescending.
That's another thing, my fellow black Americans. My fellow black Americans, you know, come on. Can't you see through this man? It, you know, just like with Hillary Clinton carrying around a bottle of hot sauce to try to, I mean, how degrading, how patronizing. Yeah. Come on, folks. Wait.
And the people who level this charge of racism, racism, racism every time you turn around, which they have indoctrinated in people and thinking that's the biggest crime in the world. It's ugly, it's ignorant, but now they have used racism for anybody who disagrees. The people who level that charge seem to be the biggest racists of all, don't they?
They do. I mean, my goodness. And it's just they've given a free pass. Some of the things that Joe Biden has done, and have people forgotten that he gave the eulogy for the one of the high, was it exalted wizards or imperial wizards of the Ku Klux Klan, that he calls them, they're different. People just, they have such a
Robert
terrible memory.
Bird.
They don't know because we
Robert
don't
Bird, right?
study history. That was who it was.
Robert Byrd. People are trying to erase our history and therefore erase the facts. Dr. Green, let's talk, I guess we'll drill down a little bit deeper into this story with the Ohio school board getting heated over woke policy and keeping parents in the dark about all this. This is atrocious. As a social worker, and you know I am a master's level social worker, to see little children be branded and labeled trans kids for being, you know, liking trains if you're a girl, or being a tomboy. This is an outrage, and it's very, very deadly damaging to kids. Talk to us about why you decided to speak out about this thing going on in Ohio. Give us a kind of an overview of what's happening there.
Well, not just in Ohio, but also I understand there was a district in Wisconsin as well where the children, you know, are being indoctrinated and being told, you know, if you're a girl, you can be a boy and vice versa. Again, parents are being caught unaware. What happens is that the poor little babies who can barely tie their shoe, they're being told, you know, you can decide if you're going to be a boy or a girl. I talked to a gentleman who said that he is so glad that his parents did not listen to him because when he was a little boy, he wanted to be a pirate. So he's so glad his parents didn't cut off a leg and give him a
hook for an arm.
For an eye patch. You know, because these parents, some of them are taking their children to these drag queen programs, and I just want to shake them. I said, don't you know what damage you're doing to your little babies? Don't you know how you're stunting their development? So I hope that school boards are getting hit with emails and letters, and better yet, the parents, despite what they're saying about them being terrorists, show up, parents. Fight for your children. Be advocates for your children, and let them know that this must stop.
Dr. Green, you're such a pleasure to talk to. And as I hear you talk, I wanted to write an article. I just didn't have the time. That this is what the left is teaching. And when you point to the fact that parents are just buying into this media nonsense and not thinking for themselves, that's just what the left wants. So this is what they want us to believe, Dr. Green. Homosexuality is fixed. Remember when they said that? It's not a choice. You're born gay and they can't do anything about it. And how dare you call that a choice?
Mm-hmm.
So homosexuality is fixed, but heterosexuality is fluid.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? How about that? Yeah.
Oh, my. I mean, it's just so ludicrous. It is so insane, you know. The Bible says how, you know, right is called wrong and wrong is called right. And that's what happens when you get away from absolute truth. Then anything becomes true when you get away from God's truth. So, I hope that the people of God, the people who call themselves Christian, the church, that they will rise up and let their voices be heard, because this is going down such a dangerous road, especially for our babies. They're coming for our children, people. Speak up, Mama Bears and Papa Bears.
Dr. Green, I don't mean to, I just want to add, and my listeners know that I'm likely to say this, that our great country was founded on religious pluralism. Yes. And I remember what, you know, I'm studying the Torah because I'm not a Christian, I'm Jewish, and I'm studying the Torah, and I actually know the line now. I mean, I'm still very, very ignorant about the Bible because I did never really study it, but I am very, very touched by that verse, Isaiah, I guess it's 5:20, that says, beware of the people that will call good evil and evil good. And I would just encourage people to read it. So our great country loves religious pluralism, and there are many people of all faiths, of no faith, of all faiths, who are standing up and saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that you are bullying kids and allowing sex change operations for kids at 9? Like, that is an attack on children. They will never procreate, which is kind of what they want. And there's a lot of ugly lies being fed to parents. And if you do not go along, then you are persecuted and prosecuted and called a terrorist. This is pretty serious times we're living in. You know what? Since I mentioned mine, we got enough time of my particular religious background. I would love to give you plenty of time to talk about what it is that keeps you strong and what do you hold on to in times that are totally unprecedented, Dr. Green. We've never seen anything like this in our lifetime.
We haven't. But you know what? I worship a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish carpenter who came to earth to die for us, and his blood has washed away our sins. If we commit our lives, we admit that we're sinners, we believe that he died on the cross for our sins, and we commit our lives to him. Not only does he want to give us a blessed home in heaven, but he wants to walk with us here on earth. He is my hope. So as so many people around me, a good friend of mine, you know, every time I see her, she's like, oh, did you hear what China did? And did you know that the government's going to do this? What? I keep trying to tell her, honey, everything's going to be all right. God is in control. And that's why I hold on to Karen, that I know God is in control. I know that he loves us. I know that Jesus has died, and he is going to take care of us. He has appointed this. And as the Bible says, I was old, and now I was young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. So I'm holding on to that verse. I'm also holding on to the fact that nothing will ever happen to me that God doesn't have complete control over. So God in his sovereignty is going to take charge. So, and I appreciate you giving me this chance for my testimony. As a sister, you don't want to give me too long because
that's the greatness of America.
Yes.
We may have theological differences, but we believe in freedom of speech and freedom of expression. We
yes.
are all those who love the First Amendment, all five pillars of it, including the right to practice religion as you see fit, is what made this country great. So
yeah.
we are modeling that here. You know, I don't agree with anybody exactly on either theology or politics, but the joy of knowing that when you stand up for other people's rights for free speech, you stand up for your own rights. That's why
yeah.
the Jews in Skokie stood up for Nazis to be able to march in Skokie with Holocaust survivors. Because at that time, the ACLU understood freedom of speech. Now they're getting on the bandwagon of prohibiting free speech because that's where the left has gone. Oh my goodness. See, the two of us get going and then we get going. You know what I want to do? We have about 3.5 minutes. I want to give you a chance to talk about the Boys Initiative. This is so important. I love the work you do because boys and masculinity have been under attack. Talk about that if you would.
Absolutely. I did a talk once to a group of teachers, and I made the statement that men are the strength of our culture. They build our bridges, they build our infrastructure, they fight our wars, they protect our families. And oh my goodness, I was scheduled for 2 sessions. I got a phone call after the first and said, we've decided to cancel you. So I have joined the ranks of the canceled. They did not like that statement. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm sorry. Our men are our strength of our culture. And a little boy is the only known substance from which a man can be made. So the boys are under attack because if you attack the boys, you turn them away from what God has planned and purposed for their lives, and they don't become the strong fathers and the leaders of our society to help our society grow and lead their families. That is the bedrock of our society. So I'm fighting for the boys. I'm fighting for our little boys. And someone asked me when I started a school for boys, what about the girls? I said, well, the school is for the girls because we're raising up godly sons, godly boys who will know how to treat them, how to take care of them, how to provide for them, and be a plus to society. And here at the Boys Initiative, one thing we're going to be doing is sponsoring a summit. A virtual summit on October 8th. It's an all-day summit with some of the leading experts in the field of boy-girl learning differences. It's not per se a religious summit, but you know what? We're going to be supporting those boys. And Karen, for your listeners, if they would use this promo code, EDUCATE, E-D-U-C-A-T-E, and they register on our site, theboysinitiative.org, register for that summit, put in that promo code EDUCATE, E-D-U-C-A-T-E, for a free ticket.
You are so good at radio. You ended at exactly the right time. always a pleasure to talk to you. Dr. Vermel Green, go to her website and attend that event. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen. Please have me back.
Oh, I'd love to. That wraps it for today on Spouting Off. I'll be back on Thursday. We'll have a bonus episode on Friday of Spouting Off. Stand up, be strong, have courage to fight tyranny.